Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, sad day. This is one of those days that's just kind of infuriating that everybody agrees we should be doing things to lower the price of prescription drugs. Everybody. I don't know anyone who goes, no, Rick, we don't. We're Americans, damn it. We pay full price. We pay retail. In fact, we pay above retail. I don't know anybody who... That's not true. I do know some lobbyists who work for Big Pharma who think, oh, no, we want full price because that's how they get their salaries paid. But the average everyday working people that I know, they're tired of being mugged over the cost of prescription drugs. So to have three Democrats come out and who have taken almost $2 million in campaign cash from Big Pharma come out and say, no, we're not going to help. That's infuriating to me. And here to share some thoughts on just how bad this is, I've asked Laura Packard to come talk with us. Laura's a stage 4 cancer survivor and the executive director of Healthcare Voter. Their website, healthcarevoter.com. Laura, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks for having me.
So am I getting this right? We've got these three Democrats, Kurt Schrader, Scott Peters of California, Kathleen Rice of New York, said, no, we're happy where the drug prices are at this moment. We don't need anything to help lower them. Am I getting this right?
Yes. In committee today, in the House Energy and Commerce Committee, those three voted against a provision to lower the cost of prescription drugs. And because of that vote, it was tied and it is not a part of the Build Back Better bill. However, this is not the end of it. Ways and Means is working on a provision and the Senate side is working on a provision. So this is not done. This is just the first step, but it is not a good first step.
Yeah. No, this is one of those things where you look at all of the, and there aren't a lot of Democrats who are the ones who are getting the shotgun ready for the circular firing squad, but there are enough. You got a couple in the House, these three. You've got a couple in the Senate that seem to just want to, gum up any progress. And for what I think are just ridiculous kind of reasons, for me, if they don't get anything done, they're all done.
Yeah, and these weak-kneed Pharma 3, they were more than happy to vote for the bill in 2019 when it didn't matter, when Mitch McConnell's Senate was a graveyard for progressive bills. But now that it actually matters, all of a sudden they have concerns. And maybe those concerns all of a sudden popped up because Big Pharma is dropping seven figures on ad campaigns. But this is a popular issue across the board, regardless of political party. Americans think we spend too much on prescription drugs, and they're right. We pay more than any other country. And this is their chance to do something about it. And today they whiffed because they were listening to their Big Pharma donors instead of their own constituents.
So what's the argument? What's their concern? I mean, I listened to Joe Manchin talk about the $3.5 trillion infrastructure bill. And his concern is now he cares about the debt. Now he cares about deficits. Now he's had this come to Jesus moment where debt and deficit now matter. Didn't hear much the last several years, but now when we're going to get some things that we need, now it seriously matters. But these three, where do you see that?
Well, they say that they care about the poor, poor pharmaceutical companies not having the money to develop new drugs, except for this is one of the most profitable industries in the country. And why is it that Americans have to pay so many times more for this innovation and nobody else in the world has to pay these prices? Now, the big pharmaceutical companies are marketing companies. They don't put their money into R&D anyway. It's the small companies that develop the drugs and then get bought up by the big companies. And then the big companies market the hell out of it. So it's not even that they need the money for research. It's they need more money to shower it on their executives and stock buybacks. It'd be one thing if they were actually doing the development, but they aren't. All of the innovation that doesn't come from research we already paid for through the NIH is coming from these smaller companies that just then get bought.
No, and I think that's something important to make sure people understand, because our government spends an awful lot of money on research through the NIH, as you point out, and through our universities. I mean, our universities are the incubator of a lot of breakthrough discoveries, as they should be. I mean, this is part of the reason why we want to have the world's best higher education system, and why I think we should be funding them at a much higher rate. And maybe, just maybe, if we had taken some of those patents that they created and let them hold on to them and profit from them, maybe we could fund education instead of, you know, more boats and whatever for the billionaires who run our big pharma companies.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And if it's so important that we be putting money into R&D, then how about we cut the price of prescription drugs and beef up NIH funding so that we can all benefit from it, as opposed to only specific stockholders of a specific company. So their arguments don't hold water, but unfortunately their wallet does. So that's why these politicians are listening.
Yeah, you know, I have a friend who's hell-bent on reimportation of drugs. His answer to our problem is, just let me buy them from Canada or from the UK or from India. Let me buy the same drugs I can get from my pharmacy from freaking India because it's cheaper. And you go, what sense does that make? Why don't we just make the cost cheaper here so we can buy them from here? What about that?
And the whole idea of reimportation, that the reason why it's cheaper in every other country is every other country is using their bargaining power to push down the cost of the drugs. We're the only ones that have our hands tied behind our back, and we don't use the purchasing power of the American government to get cheaper prices. So trying to take another country's supply is just ridiculous. We're not practicing the willpower we need right here at home to get our own cheaper prices.
That's incredible to me. I mean, and we could thank George W. Bush for this and the Republicans who rammed through the we're never going to pay anything but retail for prescription drugs with the Medicare Part, what was it, Part D is what they rammed through, mm-hmm. Along with privatizing portions of Medicare because, hey, we believe in the free market. And so I'm in this spot where you believe in the free market, but we can't negotiate for prices, which is, I don't know, isn't that one of the main tenets of the free market, that you have the ability to negotiate or to abstain? Isn't that kind of like the central definition?
Exactly. And also, let's talk some more about this amazing research that's supposed to be producing these drugs. When you look at a drug like insulin, that they jack up the prices year after year after year, and it's the same drug that was discovered decades ago. Or look at what PharmaBro did in taking a drug that had been around a long time that people depended on, and then he jacked it 700% because he could. It's not that they're spending the money, or they're spending a small fraction of money on development compared to their big marketing budgets.
But what do you say to the argument, Laura, that, you know, if we don't allow them to pursue these obscene profits, that if we don't protect their patents, that if we don't do the status quo, that eventually they're just going to stop, and then we'll have nothing. We'll all be standing around, you know, looking at each other, drug-free. What's the argument against that?
So these private companies need guaranteed profits to exist, because that doesn't sound like any sort of free enterprise. Why do they need to guaranteed customer paying top dollar in order to make a profit? Run your business better.
Yeah, see, that seems rational to me. And again, I go back to this, you know, this economies of scale thing. The federal government is the largest purchaser of drugs in the world. And they've given up the only leverage that you really could possibly have in helping taxpayers, because eventually we pay for all of it, as do seniors overwhelmingly who consume these drugs. It seems to me that this would be a win for them to say, no, now we need to go. So while we're focused on these three Democrats, who, I got to be honest, you know, I got problems with right now, but there's still 200 Republicans who voted no too. There are still every Republican who said, no, we don't care about taxpayers. We don't care about seniors. We don't care about the price of drugs. They didn't come along either.
And just like Trump said he would do something about drug prices, he talked and talked and talked and never delivered. He talked and talked and talked about a great health insurance program and never delivered on that either. Republicans are all talk and no action unless their action is voting down good ideas.
Yeah, no, you got that exactly right. And you, since you brought up Trump's plan, because I actually had someone bring that up to me not too long ago that said, you know, Donald Trump had a great plan and Democrats blocked it. I'm going, I don't remember him coming out with a plan. I do remember for a while saying he had a plan. It was secretly locked away on a whole bunch of pages. And it came in the same pack that you could buy the ream at the Staples, a whole bunch of blank pages because there's no idea there. But do you remember anything that Trump came out with that would have given access to health care to people, would have expanded access, would have, you know, lowered prices for health care and drugs? Do you remember anything like that?
Well, the health care plan never came, but his drug plan, first of all, was he was going to issue drug rebate cards to seniors that had his name written all over it. So that was the drug card bribe. And then it turned out that wasn't exactly legal. So that didn't happen. And then he issued an executive order that said, we're going to pay cheaper prices. And it turned out that that wasn't really exactly legal and well done either. So he was the kid that tried to do his homework 2 minutes before it was due. And unsurprisingly, it was full of errors.
Yeah, no, now that that's starting to come back, I forgot all about the executive order, which was magically, everyone's going to pay lower prices because I say so. Snap the fingers, done.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's not so easy. The Biden administration just released their drug plan a few days ago, and it's easy to come up with plans. It's harder to execute them, and yeah, That's what we're seeing out of Congress.
So
I have faith. It's not over, but we have a ways to go.
No, I'm hopeful. But, you know, in looking at Biden's plan, what's in it? What do you think is possible? Do you think something gets done? After all, we still have to figure out how to either get to the 60 threshold or somehow tuck it into the budget reconciliation. What's in it? Where do you see the path forward?
Well, his plan includes the things that Congress is working on now. Also, some work on the executive side, some things that he can do via regulations. And something I'm very interested in his plans is looking at monopolies and putting a lot more scrutiny on healthcare monopolies that raise the costs for all of us. So I think having a robust FTC, having a robust executive branch that is actually paying attention and working for consumers means a lot of this shady stuff that companies have gotten away with before, they hopefully won't be able to get away with anymore.
Now, you're someone who, unfortunately, has consumed an awful lot of healthcare, you know, as you went through cancer and through your life. You know, you look at this and what would it have meant to have, you know, health security that you didn't have to constantly be worrying about the bills, worrying about potentially going bankrupt? Because I'm in this mindset that I think the average everyday working person just wants to make sure that if they get sick, they're going to get covered. I don't think most people care if it's a private employer plan or if it's a government plan. I think they just want to make sure that they have the security of knowing that if they get cancer like you did, or if their kid falls off the monkey bars and breaks an arm, that they don't have to worry about bankruptcy. I think most people are in that world.
Right. I mean, most people are not health insurance policy experts. They just want to have the security of knowing that if something happens, they're covered. And it's become an ordeal every year to go through all the plans and figure out what's the right situation and hope that it'll really cover you when you need it. And things have gotten better, certainly, through the Affordable Care Act and until now, but it's still not an easy process. And you shouldn't have to be a healthcare expert to just be able to have the coverage you need.
No, I mean, And that's the right example. I mean, I keep hearing people say, well, you know, I shouldn't have to pay for things that I don't need. I'm going, well, you need everything. You need to make sure that if something happens, you're covered. And it's this kind of piecemealing that I'm concerned about. I need this. I don't need that. I need to be covered. I need to know that when I get sick, I'm going to see a doctor, that doctor is going to be sane and he's going to have credentials and he's going to follow the right path and get me as well as possible. I think we want that, right?
Yeah, I mean, I believe that most Americans want everybody to have health care. And there's a lot of fighting about the details, but I believe our hearts are all in the right place. I just wish that more of our elected officials listened to their people instead of to their donors.
Yeah, good point. So getting back to this, you said that this fight isn't over. It's going through another committee that's potentially going to be in the bill. What are the chances of the bill getting passed overall? I mean, I'm looking at Joe Manchin. I'm looking at, you know, Sinema, which I guess the president today had a meeting with both of them. There doesn't seem to be a lot of urgency from the two of them to get something forth, even though we desperately need it. How do you see this playing out?
Well, there isn't a lot of room for error. You know, we need every single vote in the Senate, and we can only spare a small handful of votes in the House. This is assuming, of course, that no Republican will vote for health care. And unfortunately, in the world we live in, it appears that no Republican will vote for health care. So anyways, assuming that there are no sane Republicans that are willing to vote in favor of their own constituents, then we don't have a lot of room to maneuver. But Nancy Pelosi is one of the best vote counters the House has ever had. So I have my faith in Nancy Pelosi and my faith in all of these legislators that at the end of the day, even if they are not putting their constituents first, they'll hopefully put their own butts first and make sure that they pass something so that Democrats have something to run on next year.
No, that's the line right there. You got to have something that you've actually gotten done, that you've actually produced to say, hey, this is how we've made your life better. We brought some bacon home, and this is why you vote for us again. Because my fear, and I said this from day one, my fear is one side says, no, we're not going to vote on anything but the hard infrastructure bill. One side says, well, if we're not getting the other side, you're not getting this. And at the end of the road, we're sitting here with nothing in either hand. And then coming out to the voters in 2022 going, oops.
Yeah. And I mean, if that's what happens, it's understandable if the voters say to heck with this and vote people out. So even if these elected officials are hearing from, you know, the money people, don't do this, don't do this, don't raise taxes, don't hurt the big corporations or whatever. If they don't do anything, they aren't going to have a job to to work from after that. So I hope that they're at least listening to the polling and seeing how important these healthcare reforms are to Americans.
Especially because they're very popular. Look, you know, the numbers, the polling numbers are really high on this stuff. But Laura, I appreciate you taking some time for us, keeping us up to date on what's going on there in Congress and getting us motivated to get some stuff done. Thanks so much.
Thank you. And contact your representatives.
There you go. Our good friend, Laura Packard. Make sure you check out the work that she's doing, laurapackard.com. She's the executive director there of Healthcare Voter. Make sure you check out their website, healthcarevoter.com, as well. Quick break, right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.